And the Tennessee Titans are back at it with a chance to get to 9 wins today. And it is the 1-11 Jacksonville Jaguars. We are live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is with me. Chris, hello.
Man, I'm doing good. How you doing? You get all your Christmas shopping done yet?
You know, I don't celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Hanukkah. Okay. And Hanukkah's already started. And, well, I haven't done any shopping for that either, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Absolutely nothing.
But I would say this.
Yeah.
It would be very nice if Santa were to bring the Tennessee Titans a win today in Jacksonville. And for a couple of reasons, if you look at the way things stand right now, according to the New York Times playoff simulator, based on 189,000 simulations, the Titans have an 87% chance to make the playoffs. That's down from 97% that they had last week entering the Cleveland Browns game. If the Titans win today, that goes back up to 94%, and it gives them a 71% chance to win the AFC South. If they lose, a 69% chance to make the playoffs. How big are division games? This shows you why a division game, even against a team that's not so good, this shows you why a division game is so big. 94% if you win, 69% to make the playoffs if you lose today.
So what do we got to do? We just got to win.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we're talking about, you know, stats and all those things, but, man, if the Tennessee Titans just go out there and play Tennessee Titans football, then they put their seventh position win. If you look at what Mike Vrabel said when he first got here with the Tennessee Titans, he said, we want to be in position to make the playoffs. He kept saying that over and over and over again. Right now, the Tennessee Titans are in position to make the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs. So it's all up to the Titans. The ball is in the Titans' court.
When you look at a team like Jacksonville, they're 1-11, but it is twofold. One, they've been playing really, really well. I mean, they lost by 4 to Green Bay. They lost by 2 to Cleveland. They lost in overtime to Minnesota on the road last week. They have been playing hard. I think that's one thing. I think another thing is Jacksonville's a team that doesn't really have much to play for. The general manager's already been fired. I think we all know the coach is getting fired at the end of the year. They're going to draft a quarterback, either Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. But for this team, there is an opportunity today to essentially try to spoil the season of the Tennessee Titans. And I am always worried when you get a division game in December with a team that has nothing to lose that can make or break your season.
Yeah, they may not have nothing to lose, but they still have a lot to play for. And I know I say this all the time, that guys are playing for their job, so guys are going to play hard. And you got to know the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, they don't like each other. I mean, it is what it is. I don't care if the Tennessee Titans are 0-26 and the Jaguars are 0-27. We just don't like each other. So if you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they're 1-11, they're still going to come out and play fast. They're still going to try to make plays. And just watching the film of them playing the Vikings, they're playing with a different attitude. I mean, I know they're 1-11. I know that people think that they're the laughing stock of the league, but they're playing fast. They're playing physical. I know Glennon is not a big-time quarterback, but he's still making plays. I mean, he's got some guys out there like Cole Chark, and I keep messing up his
name. Laviska Shenault Jr.
Thank you. I keep messing up his name. But they have the capability to go and beat the Tennessee Titans. So if the Tennessee Titans go out there and do what they did last week, have a slow start, you know, down 17-0, then at halftime down 38-7. Don't do that against the Jaguars, because they're going to put the pressure on and on.
And to go back on those Jacksonville receivers, one thing the Tennessee Titans have not been able to do at any point this season, including week two against Jacksonville, is stop a passing game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Baker Mayfield and the Browns, we go back to last week a little bit, one of the things that really got me was a lot of teams, it feels like in the NFL, Chris, want to play their game. They look like the Titans, for example. They want to play their game. They want to run Derrick Henry, set up the play action pass, and then they want to throw the ball down the field, whether it's Davis, whether it's Brown. They want to throw the ball off the play action based on the running game. Cleveland was a running team. They were the number one running team in the NFL. They came in here Sunday and said, well, we just don't think the Titans can stop the pass. So instead of that, we're just going to throw the ball. And they threw it all over the Titans. And not to say that Cleveland doesn't have a good passing game, because they have a better passing game than Jacksonville. And Baker Mayfield is better than Mike Glennon. But they had a league average passing game. And so instead of sitting back and saying, okay, let's look at using our strength with our two Pro Bowl caliber running backs, they said, let's just throw it to these receivers, Peoples-Jones out of Michigan, Rashard Higgins, guys that really hadn't done much. Let's just throw the ball with those guys. And that's what they went out and did. And I look back at it, and I wonder why every other team who plays the Titans doesn't look at it and say, let's do that, especially this Jacksonville team with Chark and with Laviska Shenault and with the group that they have at wide receiver today.
Yeah, but if you look at what the Browns did to us, we did exactly what we did to the Baltimore Ravens. We were the Tennessee Titans put the Baltimore Ravens in formations. And when I say formations, 22 personnel. That's two backs, two tight ends, and one wide receiver. So as a defense, what are you thinking? You're thinking a run. So now you put everybody in the box and try to stop the run, and then you throw the pass, what the Tennessee Titans did with Raymond. Now, this is exactly the same thing that the Cleveland Browns did. They were in the 13 personnel, one back, three tight ends, one wide receiver. So what is the Tennessee Titans thinking? They're thinking that the Cleveland Browns are going to run the ball. They didn't run the ball. They threw a double move to Peoples-Jones touchdown. So it's all about scheme. It's all about, you know, playing a chess match with the team, and that's exactly what the Browns did. And if I'm a team that's playing the Tennessee Titans, what's the Achilles heel of the Tennessee Titans? It's their secondary. So if the secondary's struggling and there's guys that you don't know and there's guys that can't make plays and you're playing 6 or 7 yards off the ball, I am going to exploit you because that's Achilles heel. Tennessee Titans.
What do we make of the way the Titans played last week and how they need to respond this week against Jacksonville on the road in a big-time division game?
Man, they have to start fast. I mean, we've been saying that, especially last year, we've been saying that the Tennessee Titans need to start fast. They got to start fast. They can't get down 17-0. They can't get down 38-7 going into halftime. They got to make plays. They have to establish the run and get Henry involved. Last week, Henry had 60 yards. So if they can just start fast, get the ball, and say, you know what, we're going to have 11-play drive, 9 minutes, and score a touchdown as opposed to field goal. So, you know, just like what we keep talking about over and over and over is the Tennessee Titans. They have to start fast.
I don't know why, but today feels kind of like a big moment for the Titans, not from the standpoint of, like, if the Titans go into Jacksonville and they win 35-7, or if they go into Jacksonville and they win, you know, 28-10, or, you know, they win comfortably, I don't think we're going to sit back and just brag about, what a great win over Jacksonville, yeah. But the difference between 9-4 and 8-5 is so big, especially given the situation Indianapolis finds themselves in. If you maintain what you're supposed to do, which is beat Jacksonville, beat Houston, and beat Detroit. And honestly, I think Detroit might be the easiest matchup for the Titans of those three.
I don't know.
But I would say the passing games for all three teams, well, especially the Texans.
Yeah.
But the passing games worry me. But if the Titans do what they're supposed to do and they win those three games, you're going to win the AFC.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
And, like, that's good, but at the same time, I guess I look at today's game saying, okay, last year they found themselves in somewhat of a similar position where they would play teams they were better than and we'd be all nervous about it, and they'd go out there and they'd win.
Exactly.
Because we've seen the Titans lose games like that in the past, but they've won a lot of those games in the past as well. And I look at today's game as one of those games, and it's like, if you're really a grown-up team, like if you're really going to prove that last year getting to the AFC Championship game wasn't a fluke, you're going to go out there to Jacksonville today, and you're going to find a way to win.
You know, we talked about it last year, and I know you hate this quote, but Mike Vrabel said, we got to be a team that goes from good to being great. You know, what makes a team great? You just got to beat the teams that you're supposed to. And that's kind of been the theme of this whole year is, okay, if this team is great, they got to beat the great teams. They beat Baltimore. They beat the Colts. But then all of a sudden you play against a team like the Cincinnati Bengals and you struggle against them. You got to be a consistent team. I understand that they're 8-4 right now, and I know having 9 wins today would be absolutely great. But they got to start playing consistent football, beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. I know they beat some great teams, but they got to beat a team that just beats those teams that they need to beat.
And today Jacksonville offers that opportunity. What do we make of the Jags? I know you brought up their passing game as something. James Robinson, their undrafted free agent running back, has had a really good year so far. It feels like Jacksonville, when you look at the record, you think they're terrible.
Yeah.
When you look at the way they're playing, I mean, I watched their game against Green Bay a couple of weeks ago where they lost by 4 on the road in Lambeau with Jake Luton as their starting quarterback. Mike Glennon, their quarterback today, is better than Jake Luton. And I watched that game, and I thought to myself, you know, Jacksonville's playing hard. I'm not saying that that defines whether or not you're a good team or a bad team, but Jacksonville was playing hard.
They are, and they have some guys that can make plays, and you alluded to them earlier. You got Chark, you got Cole, you got Shenault, you got Robinson, guys that can exploit you and beat you. There's some guys in there that can beat you on this team. So the Tennessee Titans can't go in there and say, okay, yeah, we're the big Tennessee Titans, and we're going to roll through you. This team has pride. This team is going to come out and fight. And if you look at the game last week when they went against the Vikings, they did not give up. They should have beat the Minnesota Vikings. So now we got today. You got the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, two teams that don't like each other, two teams that have explosive players. Which team is going to make the plays? And if the Tennessee Titans go out there on defense – and they don't get any pass rush, and they give up the explosive plays, you don't want the same situation to happen where they're down 17-0 and down 38-7 against a team that you're supposed to beat.
Last year, Jacksonville came in here right around Thanksgiving, and the Tennessee Titans, it was a close game at halftime.
Right.
Nick Foles made the start. That was the only game Foles would start against the Titans as quarterback of the Jags. Titans, close game at halftime, touchdown pass to Dennis Kelly. Jacksonville fumbles a kickoff. Titans score. A.J. Brown breaks a big one. Titans score. Derrick Henry takes over the game. Titans score. It ends up being a blowout. The game was a lot closer. And the fact that you're playing on the road, that concerns me a little bit. Because, again, going back to last year, now week three was different, and Jalen Ramsey was out to prove that he wanted to be traded. But you went to Jacksonville last year and got crushed on Thursday Night Football early in the season. So, for me, I guess I am nervous about this game, simply because I know what a loss would mean for the Titans.
This is what I'm concerned about, and this may be off course or off way, but I'm concerned about the conditioning. And the reason why I'm concerned about the conditioning is, you know, that how many games have the Tennessee Titans played in weather where it's going to be warm?
Mm-hmm.
That's not so. I know the Jacksonville Jaguars are used to that weather. I don't want us to get in the third and fourth quarter and it's a close game. And then all of a sudden condition comes into play. And guys, I'm not saying guys are not in shape, but when you haven't played in the game that's in hot weather and you need oxygen, all those things come into play. So I'm just hoping that when they go on the road, that everybody's conditioned well and everybody's healthy. So when we get in the fourth quarter, we give 22 to Rock and they can pound those guys and impose their will.
One big stat to look at for today's game, the Titans are +9 in turnovers. That's third in the NFL. The Jags are -7.
Jeez.
That's 28th in the league.
All that stuff don't matter. I mean, we saw that against the Cleveland Browns last week. Cleveland Browns said what? Has the worst rush defense? Or one of the worst?
No, I mean, they had like an average rush. I mean, average to bad rush defense.
I think we can't go by that because sometimes it's different matchups.
Well, the biggest thing, too, is Derrick Henry turn the ball over.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, like, you've done a good job of not turning the ball over so far this year. That's why you've won 8 games, because you don't turn it over. You go to Cleveland, you fumble the ball, you lose.
When's the last time that Derrick Henry fumbled? I mean, it's just imaginable. So when Derrick Henry fumbled the ball, I had to look at the TV like, are we looking at the same game?
Mm-hmm.
Because when was the last time that Derrick Henry fumbled? When was the last time that our offense struggled like this and it looked so bad? So, you know, we're going to have to come out and play. And I know I don't want to feel like this, because I know last week that you felt kind of nervous. I'm a little uneasy about this game.
I certainly have some worry about this game, even though Jacksonville's 1-11. I certainly enter today's game with a little uneasiness, if that makes any sense. I mean, I still think the Titans should win.
I agree,
I still think the Titans probably are going to win.
Yes.
But I am uneasy going into today's game just because, I mean, as I told you on Friday, Chris, 22 years the Titans have gone to Jacksonville. Every single year they've gone to Jacksonville. And for about 17 of those 22 years, Jacksonville has had some really terrible teams.
Yeah.
And the Titans have found themselves on the losing end of scores against those terrible teams. I mean, Mike Mularkey's Jacksonville team, I think, won like 2 games the 1 year he was the coach there. And they beat the Titans in Jacksonville. Like, I remember that game. I remember when Mike Mularkey was the coach here. And all they had to do was go to Jacksonville and win in Week 16, and that would set up a matchup in Week 17 against Houston for a trip to the playoffs. And the Titans got housed, and Mariota broke his leg.
Yeah.
So we've lived it.
I agree with you 100%. I just don't want us to get in the attitude of, okay, we're 8-4 and you're 1-11. I mean, those records are deceiving. And just like what we talked about earlier, even though they're 1-11, they're playing hard, they're playing fast, they're playing physical. They have some playmakers that can beat you. So I don't want the fans to be like, oh, this is a definite win, and, you know, they're 1-11. This is totally deceiving. This is not that old Jaguar team that had a whole bunch of selfish players and, you know, guys thinking about themselves. They're coming out and fighting because they're getting in and trying to get that identity to try to be a good team.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the 4 big storylines in today's game. The pregame show rolls along live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Chris and Jared, it's ESPN 102.5, The Game. Pregame show is live from Corner Pub in Bellevue. Three great locations for Corner Pub to watch today's game. Great beer specials as well. Hap and Harry's Yazoo Brew and much, much more. Bucket specials at Corner Pub, Bellevue, Brentwood, downtown for today's Titans and Jags game. Chris Sanders is with me. And it's time now to take a look at the four downs, the four big storylines surrounding today's game. And, of course, it is presented by Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. We start, of course, with first down. First down. Derrick Henry. Every game it feels like a highlight reel for Derrick Henry. Not so much last week. 60 yards on the ground. A very costly fumble against the Cleveland Browns. Henry said after the game his performance was unacceptable against the Cleveland Browns last Sunday. He has eaten the Jacksonville Jaguars alive in his career, especially in the month of December. Chris, yeah. How do we feel about Derrick Henry coming off of a bad game on Sunday?
He's upset. I mean, he's a player that strives on being perfect, and last week he didn't have a good game. You know, he fumbled, he only had 60 yards. But this is what makes me confident that Henry's going to do a great job. If you look at his career, he has 8 100-yard games on the road. So where are we going? To Jacksonville. So even though he's coming off a bad game, he's always great on the road. It's just something about him playing on the road that makes me feel comfortable. And I think for Arthur Smith, he's got to figure out ways to get him the ball early. I know sometimes we want to have trickery and pass the ball and all those things, but we got to establish the run early and often, because when we get to the second and third quarter, you got to start wearing that defense down. Their front's not pretty bad. They got some pretty good players, but we got to give Derrick Henry the ball often. I say he needs between about 30 to 35 carries. I mean, you got to just feed him. I understand we got some dogs on the outside with A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, but we need to feed the big dog and make sure he gets rhythm and punish the Jacksonville Jaguars defense.
So I guess I have a thought on Derrick Henry as well, which was the one thing that they will always say, and they go back to the AFC title game about this, is once you get down a lot, Derrick becomes less effective. True. And last week, now his fumble contributed to the 17th point for Cleveland that made it 17-0. But I do worry that perhaps they can put themselves in position to where they can't use him, or they can find themselves in a position. I'm not worried about that today, but in general, I mean, they got to find a way to make sure that they can run Derrick Henry throughout the entire course of a game, winning or losing.
I mean, they're going to have to. I mean, I know Derrick Henry fumbled last week, and, you know, just watching his body language, he just wasn't in rhythm. I mean, I understand that the Tennessee Titans were down by a lot, down by 17-0, but you still got to go back to your bread and butter and start feeding him and get back in that rhythm, because, you know, the one way you stop a great player is to get him frustrated. And watching Derrick Henry on the sidelines, the Cleveland Browns had him frustrated. And when you're frustrated as a player, you tend not to play well because you tense up and you put all the pressure on yourself. So what they have to do, what Arthur Smith has to do, is get him the ball early. I don't care if it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, feed him the ball and let him run through somebody's face.
That takes us to second down. Second down. The quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, boy, he lit it up last week against Cleveland. But Tannehill in week 2 against Jacksonville, maybe his most efficient performance, 18 for 24, 239, 4 touchdowns, and he was lighting it up early. Jonnu Smith with a touchdown in the first quarter. Corey Davis with a touchdown in the first quarter. Jonnu Smith with a touchdown in the second quarter. And then Adam Humphries with a game-winning pass, or what was essentially a game-winning touchdown grab. Adam Humphries, 18 yards from Tannehill in the third quarter. Tannehill hit on the play, got up and said, "And one." As the Titans connected on that. Tannehill was fantastic against Jacksonville last year as well. It looks like Ryan Tannehill down the stretch. Chris, how do we feel about him as the season is starting to come to a close?
I mean, he's playing pretty good, and the reason why he's playing pretty good is because he has some big dogs on the outside. He has A.J. Brown, he has Corey Davis, and he's just got to play efficient. I mean, we talked a little bit about early for the Tennessee Titans to be successful and win. Yeah, we're going to have to run the ball. He just has to protect it. That's all he has to do. Don't do anything outside of what you normally do. Get the ball in the hands of your receivers, make plays, and do what you've been doing all season. Get everybody involved. I mean, get Batson involved, get Raymond involved, get A.J. Brown, get Ferkser, get Pruitt, all those guys involved what you've been doing all season. So, you know, he really doesn't have to do anything special, I mean, I know this may sound crazy, but even if he goes 12 for 18 for 260 yards, that's a productive day because we know that Henry's going to run the ball. Protect the football. Don't throw any interceptions and put the ball in the playmaker's hand and let them make plays.
I think Tannehill is at a point right now, Chris,
yeah,
where when he's locked in, he is deadly. Now, yes, he's not going to light up the scoreboard. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. But when he's locked in, he's deadly. When he's off his A game, I get a little concerned because that's where you start to see some passes being made that are – I thought he had his A game on Sunday against Cleveland. And if Adam Humphries doesn't drop the ball, maybe that's a different kind of game. But I certainly felt like he had his A game Sunday. He had his A game the first game against Jacksonville. And when he's on his A game,
yeah,
he's really hard to beat.
I mean, he's just got a different look about himself. When he was with Miami – his body language was a little different. He was unsure and, you know, kind of afraid to make plays and not making the plays downfield. But if you look at this year, he's playing at a different level. He's playing with confidence. And this is the most important thing, what I'm going to say, is he trusts his wide receivers. I mean, it doesn't matter who's in. It doesn't matter if Raymond's in, Batts is in, Ferks is in, Davis is in, Brown is in. He's at a position to where I expect those guys to make plays. I expect to make the throw. I expect to make the touchdowns. And when you have a quarterback playing with that much confidence, I'm telling you, just like you said, he's dangerous.
And that takes us to third down.
Third down.
Here are the Jacksonville Jaguars' defensive statistics on the season, Chris.
Uh-huh.
Yards per game, last. Yards per play, last. Rushing yards per play, 30th. Rushing yards per game, 29th. Passing yards per play, last. They are terrible. First downs per game, 29th. Now, the Titans are 27th, so it's not like they're a whole lot better. But, again, the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars walk in here. Yard differential per game, minus 79.8. The other team averages almost 80 yards more. That's 31st in the league. Mm-hmm. They also, their point differential, minus 8, is 30th in the league. This Jacksonville defense, not sexy this year.
They're really not, but it means absolutely zero. We said the same thing when they played the Cincinnati Bengals, how bad their defense was, how bad their second. All this stuff, what happened?
I mean, the Titans could have done whatever they wanted to with that Bengals defense,
yeah,
but
right,
I know what you mean.
Right, but when you start throwing turnovers in the red zone and you start making mistakes, you're giving a team life. So even though you made all those statistics on how bad they were passing and all those things, if you start having interceptions, you start making mistakes, you start messing up on special teams, you start getting out coached. I don't care if the team is 1-11. I don't care if they're last in pass. I don't care if they're last in on third down. If you start making mistakes, you're going to look up and you're going to have yourself a loss. So the Tennessee Titans definitely have to go in there with confidence and say, you know what, we're better than you. We have Derrick Henry. We have A.J. Brown. We have Corey Davis. We have Raymond. We have Batson. We have Ferguson. We have all these guys that are better than your guys, and we got to go out and prove it.
I think that the passing game may be the question here because I do think Derrick Henry is going to be able to run against Jacksonville,
yes,
but I don't think Jacksonville is going to let Derrick Henry just take over the game. Those corners versus Davis and Brown. If Davis and Brown keep playing the way they're playing, I don't think Jacksonville's corners can slow those guys down.
Those guys don't have a chance. I mean, you got Davis is playing at a high level, and you have Brown that's playing outstanding. So, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to sell out to stop the run because if you look at around the league, what they're going to do, they're going to take your best player out. And who's the best player on the Tennessee Titans team?
Derrick Henry.
So what they're going to do, they're going to load the box and dare Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Raymond, all those guys to try to stop to try to beat you. So that's what the Tennessee Titans are going to do.
And that takes us to our fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are, in fact, 1-11. While Chris and I are not writing them off, I do think at some point we have to acknowledge the fact that they're 1-11. Mike Glennon will start at quarterback for them today, the third quarterback of the season. Gardner Minshew started the year, lit up the Titans, by the way, in week two. Jake Luton got a handful of starts after Minshew got hurt. Now they're on Mike Glennon, a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they will select either Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields in the first round of this year's draft because they will pick either first or second.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, what do we think of the future of the Jags? We don't know who the GM is going to be. We don't know who the coach is going to be. But what do we think of the future of the Jags if it is, in fact, Justin Fields at?
Quarterback. Oh, The Ohio State University.
At The Ohio State University. If it is, in fact, Justin Fields as the future of the Jacksonville Jags.
I mean, I think they can be successful. They just got to figure out the direction and the identity of they want on this team. I mean, we always talk about that identity and culture. That makes a difference. And right now, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are trying to figure it out. And with the guys that you're seeing playing on the field right now, with Glennon and Chalk and all these guys, they're still auditioning for this team. So even though they may go out and get a quarterback in the draft, Glennon is still auditioning for a position on this team. Listen, I went back and watched the film of this year of the Jacksonville Jaguars and last year. This year's team is – there's just a different attitude. There's a lot of unselfish guys in there. Last year, there was a whole bunch of me guys, and guys didn't get along. So if you have a core of players that are getting along, you have a coaching staff that's getting along, and you have people that are trying to figure out the culture and the identity of the team, that's a step in the right direction. Then now you start adding players. You add a quarterback. You add some defensive backs. You add a couple of receivers. You get some linemen. And now you started building, because if you look at the Titans were in the same position that the Jaguars were in a long time ago. They were in disarray, you know, the coaching situation, you know, a whole bunch of me players, but all of a sudden you start getting a good coaching staff like Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith, and getting players that fill the mold of the culture of your team, then now you have a recipe for success. So now I think that's what the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing.
And quickly, what do you think of Fields and Lawrence as those two guys are concerned?
They're good, but they just got to get in the right system.
Would you take Lawrence over Fields if you were Jacksonville, you had the choice?
I would go with Lawrence. I think he's a better passer.
Okay, what about Fields as a pro?
I think he's going to be good. It's just getting with the right team. And I know I say that, and I don't know if I'm answering your question, but he's got to get in the right system that fits him.
Coming up next,
sir,
we will take a look at the Titans offense. Henry, Tannehill, Brown, Davis, can they keep it going? After a big week, at least stat-wise and point-wise from the Titan offense, can they keep it going this week against, as we mentioned, a very, very bad Jacksonville defense? We'll get to that coming up next. Live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue today, it is the pregame show right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to take a look at the offensive keys to today's game for the Titans as we are live out at the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Jared and Chris, we went over in the last segment, Chris, how bad defensively the Jacksonville Jags are. When you look at the stats, they are not very good. In fact, they are very bad on defense. I pulled up who the starters were for the Jags on defense last week. And I will ask you if you know these guys. Dwayne Smoot.
No, but he had four sacks.
He does lead them with 4.5 sacks. Daniel Ukulele.
No, that sounds like he's a singer.
Doug Costin.
He sounds like he's a promoter.
Adam Gostis.
No.
Miles Jack.
Yes.
Joe Schobert.
No.
Joe Giles Harris.
No.
Go ahead. Greg Maben.
No.
Greg Maben was on the Titans practice squad, and it has been rumored that Greg Maben was the one who basically brought COVID to the Titans when they had their COVID outbreak.
Jeez.
Now, he didn't mean to do it, but that, remember when the NFL expanded the testing window so that if you're going to come to a team, you have to test for 5 days straight before you can – a lot of people think that that's because Greg Maben tested negative but had it and just wasn't testing positive yet and then brought it to the team. That is a rumor, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But he started at corner for them last week. I think he's hurt. I don't think he's going to play this week. Jared Wilson at safety.
No.
Well, he's been there for a while, but he's not a special player. Josh Jones.
Cornerback, right?
Safety.
Safety. No.
Trey Herndon.
Yeah, I know him.
Okay, so you know a couple of guys on the Jags defense. The Jags' defense is terrible. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Titans' offense is clicking fifth in the NFL, and they're doing it both equally with the running game of Derrick Henry and the pass game with Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. It looks like this should be one where Ryan Tannehill is going to be able to pick his poison as to which he attacks the Jags with today. How do you see the Titans' game plan on the road against a struggling Jacksonville defense?
I mean, you have Tannehill, you have A.J. Brown, you have Corey Davis, you have all these great players.
Jonnu Smith is probably back today.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith. So you have all these players, and then you named all those guys that we had absolutely no clue who they were.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that can stop the Tennessee Titans is a couple of things. Number one, if they don't execute. If they don't execute, you have guys dropping balls. You have Tannehill throwing interceptions. You have guys not running wrong routes. You have Henry fumbling the ball. You're going to keep a team that shouldn't be even in this game because they're a bad defense. I mean, I know we can talk about all the stats we won and all these things, and you can throw for 389 yards and throw for four TDs. But when you start fumbling the ball, when you start making interceptions, then it keeps that defense in the game. And we don't want to give this defense any life. I mean, we don't want to say, okay, we got an interception, we got a fumble, and then all of a sudden a defense that is terrible in every stat all of a sudden is playing like a number one defense. And the reason why is because you gave them confidence. And the reason why you give a team a defense confidence is if you're having fumbles, if you're making interceptions, and you're not executing, you have three and outs. You're not going to win ball games like that when you're supposed to win.
How do you think Arthur Smith should approach this right now? He's got a passing game that is clicking. He's got a wide receiver in Corey Davis, who is probably playing the best football of his career.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like Davis is going to slow down, at least not right now, at least until he gets his contract. It doesn't look like Davis is going to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
But do you really want to come out firing the football today against Jacksonville?
You want to have a balanced offense. I mean, and if you look at when they played the Colts, the first half they ran for 173 and they passed for 173. So you got...
Although that was the running game, I felt like, that set up the pass.
Yeah, but it did. But it was still kind of balanced because, I mean, when you have 173 and 173, that's kind of balanced, and I agree with you. But, you know, Arthur Smith, I just don't want him to kind of get cute. Does that make sense?
Oh, he loves getting cute.
I mean, I don't
know. Does it not feel like sometimes yeah. when he calls the game, he feels the need to, like, go show that he's smarter than everybody else? Like, Arthur, just get the ball in the hands of Davis Brown and
no,
him.
If it's 3rd and 1, I'm not throwing to my offensive line.
Oh, God.
I'm not doing that. If I got 2-2 sitting in the back, in the backfield, and he's going to run through somebody's face, I'm going to let Henry run through somebody's face as opposed to a guy who's, what, 300 pounds trying to go up high and catch the football? Nah, that's not happening, boss.
Like, do you think it's crazy that when I went back and I you know, dissected the Browns game, the Titans scored 35 points, and not only did they score 35 points, but they also, at the same time, they threw the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
You had a receiver with 181 yards. All that stuff's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I still gave Arthur an F for his performance against Cleveland.
I think the reason why they had to pass so much because they were down. I mean, when you're down 17-0 and you're down 38-7, you know, the defense is going to let Henry run the ball because the time is going to be running out. So, you know, they had to find some quick scores. They had to make sure they got some chunk yards because if you don't get chunk yards and you're down 38-7, then, yeah, we'll let you have 5 or 6 yards and let Henry run for 10. But at the end of the day, when you're doing all that running, that time is going tick, 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 and it's a wrap.
I guess I gave Arthur an F because I felt like he got too cute in the ball game.
Yeah, I didn't like the offense. I didn't like that play where he threw it to the offensive lineman. That's just
I didn't like that play. I didn't like, you know, on 4th and 1, 4th and inches, I understand it's a new NFL, but everybody in the ballpark knows Derrick Henry's getting the ball. Derrick Henry, you know, why line up in shotgun?
With Batson.
Like, why? Yeah, and then there was that I didn't like that either. That bothered me. I want to see Arthur. Sometimes Arthur's got to look at this like a basketball coach,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I know we can draw up all these plays, but ultimately I need to get the ball into the hands of Michael Jordan
no doubt.
And Scottie Pippen.
No
I
doubt.
Do not need to be drawing up plays to get Ron Harper a look. I got Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. If I need Tony Kukoc, I do not need
right.
Luke Longley to have the ball. And I look at Arthur, and I understand Tannehill's like this, and Arthur's like that. They want to spread the ball around. I get
mm-hmm.
that. But I would prefer, this is me,
yeah.
I would prefer when, you know, when the heat check's going on,
mm-hmm.
get the ball in the hands of Davis, Brown, and Henry.
Oh, no doubt. So, you know, everybody knows that Henry's probably the second leader on the team, okay? Should Henry maybe go to Arthur Smith or go to the head coach and say, listen, hey, man, it's 3rd and 1. Give me the rock.
Yeah, like when that play call comes
yeah.
in, I'm like, oh, we're going to trick him and throw it to the
yeah,
guard. Derek say, timeout.
yeah. Well,
timeout.
Yeah, I mean, do you think he has availability? Not availability. Should he go and do that? Not out of disrespecting the coach, but he's like, coach, listen, I understand you want to throw it to the offensive line. I understand it, but do you understand that I'm swole? And I can run through somebody's face, give me the rock. And that's what I think that he's got to do. Don't get cute. Just stay to the basics and do what you do in your bread and butter.
Okay, now that being said, would you have ever gone to the coach or the offensive coordinator?
No. And I don't say that in a disrespectful way. There's times where I would go to my offensive wide receiver coach and say, coach, hey, they are going cover zero against me. I can beat this guy. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like when I was a rookie, I mean, I was real quiet, but there's times where I went to Les Tech. I said, Les Tech, and this was when we played the Cincinnati Bengals. I said, coach, they are blitzing, and they're giving me one-on-one coverage. I can run past this guy. He's like, oh, okay. We went there, and that's how I scored my first touchdown. So it's not that you're going to the coach and being disrespectful and saying, I need to run the ball. I say, coach, hey, it's 3rd and 1. You know that I can get it. Let me go and get it.
What do you make of the way the Titans offense is progressing as the season continues? They're number five right now in the NFL. As much as we've been criticizing Arthur, it does look like they are having another banner season built off of what they did last year. I mean, the offense has done enough in almost every game, it feels like, this year, that if the defense or the special teams didn't suck, the offense would probably have won you every single game.
Yeah, I mean, the offense has been playing well. A.J. Brown's playing at a high level. Davis, Ferkser, everybody's making plays. But the one thing that I'm a little concerned about is our offensive line, just a little bit, not much. I know Quisenberry's played pretty good. You got Saffo and you got Jones, and Jones is a little banked up. I'm just concerned of the health of our offensive line. And then I know they just signed – I can't remember his name. They just signed a guy to the 53-man roster, another offensive tackle. So I just think that's the only thing that concerned me, because if you look at the games that we've played, Tannehill has been getting hit a lot, you know, especially against the Colts, and he got hit a little bit against the Browns. So we just got to make sure we keep him clean and get those running lanes for Henry.
What is the key today against Jacksonville's offense? If you had to put one down, just put your finger down and say, you know what, we need to do this, or we need to not do that, or something of that magnitude.
To stop the Jacksonville's offense?
No. For your offense today.
Oh, I mean, we got to start fast. And what we got to do, we said this earlier, we got to establish the run early. I mean, I know that we can beat those guys on the perimeter. I know we can beat those guys deep, and I know we can do those things out there. But if we establish the run and make them do something that they don't want to, then it opens up the pass. Then it opens up play action for those guys to make plays. I just don't want us to do this, to come out quick. I mean, come out, and all of a sudden we start chucking the ball like 7 to 8 times in a row. I mean, that's just not going to do it, because they're going to play a defense to keep you from making a pass. Then you start to run it, and you stop the run, then now you're all out of sync.
Coming up, we'll flip it. Titans defense, horrible performance last week against Cleveland. Horrible performance week two against Jacksonville. How worried are we about the defense, and how worried are we today? Veteran quarterback Mike Glennon with some receivers who can catch. Mm-hmm. How worried are we about the Jacksonville offense against the Titans? We'll touch on that next. We are live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Come on out. They are socially distancing here. They've got safety guidelines in place. Much, much more. Three great locations for Corner Pub. Jared and Chris, it's the pregame show right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans on defense are struggling. I think that's fair to say, Chris Sanders.
Mm-hmm. That's the jam right there. I don't get my groove on. Oh, I just had to get that in. Okay, go ahead.
Titans are struggling on defense, Chris Sanders.
Oh, my bad. Hey, the music got to me. they are. And you know, we've been talking about this all season. What are the two things that the Tennessee Titans are struggling in? They're struggling on third down, and they're struggling with a pass rush. We've been saying that all day long. If you look at what the Cleveland Browns did last week, I mean, they converted over 60% on third down, and you just can't have that. If we do this against Glennon, I mean, I know he's not a prolific passer. I know he's not a big-time quarterback, but if he can sit back there and make plays and throw it to his playmakers, Cole, Chark, and Shavinsky, what is his name again?
LaViska Shenault.
There we go. I mean, it can be a long day, and we definitely have to get some pass rush. I know Simmons is playing pretty good, but those other guys need to step up around him and get a pass rush, because even if – just imagine me and you playing quarterback. I mean, in the backyard. If we can sit back there and pass all day, eventually we're going to find a receiver. And I think with this Tennessee Titans defense, if they don't put any pressure on Glennon, he's going to sit back there and he's going to find a receiver, regardless if they're not the caliber players that we have. So if the Tennessee Titans can put a little bit of pressure on Glennon, get off the field on third down, and make him make mistakes, they can be successful.
So I want to, going back to your point, you look at the Titans defensive stats. On third down in the NFL, the Titans are 53.57. That's worst in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Sacks per pass attempt are 2.96. So every 3% of the time a quarterback goes back to pass, the Titans get a sack. That is last in the NFL. The other numbers, while they're not pretty, yards per play is 21st, rushing yards per game is 16th, passing yards per game is 28th, although that is a big concern. You know, fourth down, they're 23rd. They're goal to go 25th. Point differential, they're 11th. Yard differential, they're 16th. Like, they're not horrible when it comes to every statistic on defense except for third down and sacks, which they are dead last in the NFL. I'm just convinced there's not going to be an improvement this year. And aside from today's game, which I know is the focus, mm-hmm. I do worry Can this team make a serious run in the NFL when they're dead last in sacks per play and dead last in third downs?
I think they can. I mean, and I'm not comparing it to Kansas City because Kansas City's in the same boat. I mean, they have a prolific offense, but their defense is not as good. So if we and if you look at our Tennessee Titans, if we just keep doing what we're doing on offense and here and there we make a play on defense, get an interception, get a fumble, we'll still be above what those other teams are doing. I mean, and it's funny that we're talking about this, is you have the Jaguars defense that is terrible. You have the Tennessee Titans are in the same boat. So what's got to give? It's the team on offense that makes the play. So the reason why I think the Tennessee Titans are going to win is because we have a better offense than the Jacksonville Jaguars offense.
Sure, for today that's fine. But do you really think you – I mean, I know we sit here and talk bad about Kansas City's defense.
Right.
But down the stretch last year with Honey Badger and Chris Jones and Frank Clark. And
true.
I mean, you go back to the AFC title game, they played pretty good defense against the Titans. Can the Titans' defense improve enough to give you a chance when it gets more serious down the stretch of this season?
I think they can. And the reason why I say that is when we played the Buffalo Bills, right, is, you know, we were doing outstanding on offense, but we got a batted ball here, there, interception by Butler, mm-hmm. a fumble here. I mean, even though our defense may be struggling, with the way our offense is playing, if we can just get a fumble here, a tip ball there, you know, get a three and out on a team, then now it puts us in position to stay in front of a team because our defense is giving us a play here and there.
Meanwhile, for Jacksonville, three big-time receivers, DJ Chark, who was in the Pro Bowl a season ago, along with Laviska Shenault Jr., Keelan Cole. Now, Keelan Cole came in as an undrafted free agent mm-hmm. out of Kentucky Wesleyan and lit it up. Mm-hmm. He's had his down years. He's had his up years. I mean, they're not great. Neither of those guys are great players. Chark, I think, is probably the best of the group. But, Chris, I worry. The Titans secondary, Kenny Vaccaro, out with an illness today.
Jeez.
So you're going to have Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker at safety. Malcolm Butler at one corner position with Desmond King and most likely Chris Jackson at the other corner position. I don't see a lot of winning for the Titans secondary. And again, last in the league in sacks per play.
So you think the Jaguars are going to throw the ball? Heck yeah. And, you know, and another thing, too, is, and I want to really share this and really make people understand that the reason why teams are converting third down so much is because the depth of our corners. When you're playing a cover three and a cover four and you're playing like 7 or 8 yards off and it's third and five and you don't want to give up the big play, that's why they're struggling. And our secondary, you know, man, we're going to have to step up and make plays. I know in the Colts game, Bortles made some plays here and there. But teams are going to go after your secondary if your secondary yep. is not sound. If you look at the Tennessee Titans secondary, the only guy that you're familiar with is Byard. Yeah, we hear Amani
Butler.
Butler. You hear Butler and you hear Hooker. But who on that defensive secondary scares you? There's nobody.
So to me, it's not about scaring anybody. I mean, like,
yeah, but
it'd be nice to have Ed Reed back there. But to me, it's the pass rush. These guys wouldn't have much of a – I mean, Butler's fine. Byard is having a bad year. Butler is fine.
Yeah.
But, like, Butler's got no chance. I don't think Malcolm Butler has a prayer. And I think he's playing pretty well this year. But I don't think you give much of a chance to a guy like Malcolm Butler when you get literally no pressure on the quarterback.
I mean, but we can say that it's all about not getting pressure. But in a secondary, eventually, you got to make some plays. Look at when they went against Pittsburgh. The receivers ran 5-yard hitches and 7-yard slants, and all of a sudden they're scoring touchdowns. So it's not just the pass rush. I understand the pass rush. They have to get there. They have to put pressure on the quarterback so we can get him off a spot so he can make the wrong decision. But when you're running a 5-yard hitch and you're running a 7-yard slant, you catch it, you spin, and all of a sudden you make a 30-yard touchdown, that has nothing to do with pass rush. It has to do with guys stepping up, making plays. It has to do with the defensive coordinator. They don't have a defensive coordinator. Mike Vrabel and those guys putting the secondary in position to make plays. But if you're 7 yards off and then I'm coming off the ball and then all of a sudden you're at 10 yards, all I got to do is catch the rock and I'm guaranteeing 12 yards.
I think Vrabel wants them playing off because he's worried about
exactly.
what happened last week where Peoples Jones just runs by Breon Borders on a double move and it's a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I understand why Vrabel – I understand the position Vrabel's in. Now, I kind of hold him a little bit accountable for this because they should have seen this coming. But – the idea of, well, you can't play up on the guy because if you do, he'll run by you for a touchdown. And these receivers, I'll tell you this right now, Cole maybe not as much because he can't run like Chark and Chenault can. Those guys will run by you for touchdowns. I mean, if you get up on them and you don't get any pass rush, they will run past you, and he will be able to deliver the football. And that does scare me.
No doubt.
So I understand the position Vrabel's in because it's almost like this catch-22 of, okay, if you go up and press them, they're going to run by you. If you don't go up and press them, they'll throw everything short, and they'll just go first down, first down, first down, first down, touchdown.
Yeah, but you got to put the canopy on the cornerback also. You know, you got to look at what's going on. Okay,
I got to take a seventh round guy in Chris Jackson, who Floyd thinks is a safety more than he is a corner. And I got to put him on Laviska Shenault, and if he gets beat by Laviska Shenault, I should blame him.
No, but this is what I'm saying is, I understand we can blame Mike Vrabel, but at the end of the day, players got to make the plays. Look, if I look at their defense and they're in the 13 personnel, okay, that's one back, three tight ends, one wide receiver, and I understand that they're going to run the ball, but then in my back of my mind, they may pass the ball, and I'm biting up on a double move. That's not the coaches. That's the players. And when they made the double move, Peoples Jones was 10 yards in front of him, and he was still looking in the backfield. What are you doing looking in the backfield? You got to trust your technique to say, you know what, I'm on an island with this receiver. It's one-on-one. So if it's one-on-one and I have no other responsibilities, what the heck am I looking in the backfield for?
Another thing, the first time these two teams played, Gardner Minshew, who is not even good enough to play quarterback for them right now, 30 of 45, 339, three touchdowns. Yes. Now, the Titans did pick him twice. One was early. I think that was a ball where it hit the receiver, and it popped in the air, and it was intercepted. Yeah. And Kristen Fulton, I think, took it all the way down, you know, set up a Titan touchdown. The second one in a 33-30 game was a ball Jeffrey Simmons batted in the air that fell into the arms of Harold Landry and sealed the game. I am worried that Jacksonville does know what to do against this Titans defense. And they've shown that they know what to do, and they've done it, and that concerns me.
Yeah, it all depends on what they're going to do in the secondary. I mean, what are they? Just like what we talked about a few minutes ago, are they going to come up and press the receivers? If they come up and press receivers, then in my opinion, I think it's going to be a long day. But then if you play off, then you throw five-yard hits, you keep the chains moving, and you keep the Tennessee Titans offense off the field. So what do you do? What's the catch-22? I don't know. I don't know that. So they're going to have to come up with a game plan to make sure that they come up with turnovers, a fumble, an interception here or there, and try to make some plays.
One thing we have not discussed yet, Derrick Henry's having a great season at 1,300 yards. James Robinson, the undrafted free agent rookie, who, by the way, you know the running backs coach of the Jags is who has coached up James Robinson?
Who's that?
Terry Rubisky.
You are lying.
Telling the truth. James Robinson, 968 yards on the ground. That's third in the NFL.
Wow.
15th in rushing average. Derek is 11th. And he is lighting up the stat sheet, including leading them in rushing touchdowns with 7. That's 5 behind Derrick Henry, but 10th in the NFL. Wow. We have not talked much about this because we worry about passing games since the Titans can't stop them. But James Robinson did have 100 yards in week number 2 against the Tennessee Titans. Chris, how worried are you about an undrafted rookie no one's really talking about who has probably saved some fantasy teams so far this year?
I think we're going to stop him. I think we're going to put a whole bunch of guys in the box and really –
By the way, 102 on 16 carries.
I know that's crazy. But yeah, and that's what Mike Vrabel and that defensive staff is going to see. Okay, he had 100 yards, 102 yards last time, so we got to figure out a way to stop him. I'm not really concerned that Robinson's going to have a big day. I'm just still concerned of what's going to happen in the secondary because I think up front we have the ability to stop the run. I know we're not getting any pass rush. I don't think we have the ability to cover the receivers in the back end. That's what I'm concerned about. I know Robinson had 102 yards, and I know he's third and all these things. But it's like the Tennessee Titans, every time they go against a good running back, they stop them. They always do that. But then when they go against a running back that's okay, then he has 100-some yards. So I think the Tennessee Titans are going to pay attention to Robinson and stop him and let him beat him in the pass.
I'm worried about Robinson. I'm worried about the passing game. This defense is so bad. This honestly might be the worst Titans defense I've seen since Jerry Gray was defensive coordinator, and that is saying something because that Titans defense was horrible.
You remember Jerry Gray?
When he was defensive coordinator?
Yeah, oh, my gosh. I got there when I got to Houston. He was there as a defensive back coach. He's more
– Floyd loved him. I mean, I think Floyd thinks the world of Jerry Gray as a coach.
Sometimes – some people try to go up to what they're not. I don't think he was a defensive coordinator. I think he was very good at what he did as a defensive back coach. Very good.
Not a good defensive coordinator.
You said it. He's pretty good.
Coming up on the other side, we will have who is in and who is out as we are approaching an hour and 30 minutes to kick off for the Titans and the Texans as, again, we are getting close. We'll have the inactives for who's in, who's out, and the depleted Titan secondary that we're talking about. It's going to get a little bit worse. We'll get to that coming up next. Live from the Corner Pub, we are hanging out here in Bellevue. Three great locations, Bellevue, downtown, and Brentwood. Chris and Jared, it's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to take a look at the injury report today. Who's in, who's out, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Jared and Chris, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll start with the Titans. Out today for the Titans, safety Kenny Vaccaro was added to the injury report yesterday with an illness. He is out, sick today.
Wow.
And will not play. Now, I don't know what kind of sick he is,
yeah.
But I would say this. Being out sick in the NFL is different in 2020 than it has been before. Sure.
Man, that's a huge blow, man. I mean,
you get a cold or something like that back in the day.
You could play.
And it was just like, hey, let's get him some medication. Let's get him out there. Now you got somebody. Hey. You keep him away. You stay over there. Kenny Vaccaro not active today.
Oh,
for the
that's a toughie. I mean, who's going to play in the secondary, me or you?
So it looks like Amani Hooker will be the first one up, then probably me next after that. Amani Hooker leads the Titans in there. The problem with this is that with Amani Hooker playing in place of Vaccaro, and I believe that Vaccaro missed the Baltimore game as well, and Hooker got burned for a touchdown. The problem is Hooker is doing a decent job in his own position. But by taking him and making him play Vaccaro's position, there now is somebody who has to play Hooker's position. And I don't think the Titans have anybody like that on their roster.
Yeah, but this is why Beyer needs to really be big today. And I know he needs to
He's needed to be big all season and hasn't done it.
But just like what he talked about in his interviews about communication, he's really got to communicate to Amani Hooker on identifying what's going on with the formation. So that's going to be huge with Vaccaro out.
So Kenny Vaccaro is out. Adoree Jackson is out for another week, although he did practice on a limited basis three times this week. You, after watching minimal video, am still convinced that
he's not ready at all.
Jackson's hurt.
He is hurt for real.
Running back Darrington Evans was added to the active roster after being placed on IR with a hamstring injury. He is inactive today. Linebacker Wyatt Ray is inactive for the Titans today, which means Tuzar Skipper is going to be your chief outside linebacker opposite Harold Landry and Derek Roberson.
That's the best name ever.
And meanwhile, Deontay Foreman has been deactivated today, which means Sonoris Perry as a special teams player. Now, I'm partial to Sonoris Perry because we went to college together. Yeah. But Sonoris Perry will be active today at the running back position, which means right now, I believe at running back, you're looking at Derrick Henry, Jeremy McNichols, and Sonoris Perry, along with Kari Blasingame, the fullback.
Yeah, I think that has to do with more special teams. I agree with you.
And Perry has been a career special teamer.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've known Sonoris Perry for a long time.
Yeah,
and I would just say that he's the kind of guy who will do anything to be on your team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of, okay, look, if I got to go out there and I got to go do this, I will do it in order to be on your team. The question I have is who's going to play Amani Hooker's role? Remember, Amani Hooker has not just been somewhat of a nickelback for the Titans this year, but he's also, with the loss of Jayon Brown, been playing a lot in kind of that box safety role of dropping down or like the linebacker position to cover tight ends and running backs because David Long Jr. is simply not athletic enough to be able to cover at the same rate Hooker or Jayon Brown could. So that's another issue for the Titans in their secondary.
Yeah, but I think they may go like a little cover three to really put a whole bunch of guys in the box and make him be like a core player to stop Robinson and dare him to beat him in the pass and just play off of the receivers, catch the ball, and hope they make a tackle. I mean, that's basically all you can do. I mean, that's it. Because, you know, Amani Hooker is okay in the secondary, but I think he's a better tackler. I don't know if he's a good cover guy. But if they just have him atop Robinson, I think that's the reason why he's going to be playing in that core position.
Out for the Jags today, center Brandon Linder, who is their team captain on offense and one of their best offensive linemen. Brandon Linder is out. He's got an ankle injury, will not play today. Rookie quarterback Jake Luton is inactive, as is linebacker Quincy Williams and tight end Tyler Davis and a trio of former Titans, Kamale Correa, Greg Maben, and Reggie Gilbert are all inactive today for the Jacksonville Jags.
How many people do you know on that list?
four, Brandon Linder and the three former Titans.
We don't know. I don't know anybody on there. I don't know what position they play because it's people that I've never heard of.
I mean, you know Kamala Correa.
Yeah, I know Correa. I mean, those guys that you named, but other than that, I had no idea who.
Now, Quincy Williams, I believe he was a guy that a lot of people thought highly of coming out.
Yeah,
I mean, I think I feel like I remember that name. Looking at the Titans depth chart, here's what they've got in the secondary, okay? With the loss of Kenny Vaccaro today and Adoree Jackson's out as well. You're looking at Amani Hooker stepping in and playing a role. Breon Borders, by the way, has been placed on IR, so he's out as well. So Amani Hooker is going to be pressed into a starting role, as is Desmond King. The other DBs on the roster that are active today include Chris Jackson, Chris Milton, who is a special teams player, Josh Kalu, who is also a special teams player. Remember, blocked the punt last year against Kansas City. Yeah. And I believe Kareem Orr was added yesterday to the roster from IR. And so he is active at the corner position. Kareem Orr, who is every year right on the cusp of either making the team or getting cut. And he usually gets cut. But this year he's been up a little bit, been down. He was placed on IR. He was activated yesterday. So he is eligible to play.
So what do you do in the secondary? I mean,
I'm guessing you're going to see Josh Kalu out there.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, what personnel are they going to use? Are they going to be in a nickel or a dime? I mean, if you get in a nickel or a dime, then that's when Robinson and those guys can hurt you in the run. So what are they going to do? I don't know. I mean, because you know the Achilles heel of the Tennessee Titans defense is our secondary. The secondary has to step up and make plays. I understand we're not getting a pass rush, but what – guy on that defensive secondary has a potential of making plays. Byard, yes. Hooker, yes. But at their key position. And Butler, yes. But who else can step up and make plays?
Okay, let's just, for argument's sake, let's say the Jags go in, 13 personnel, right?
13, yep.
That's one running back and three receivers. And,
no. That's one running back, three tight ends, and one wide receiver.
Okay.
You want three wide receivers?
I want three wide receivers.
Okay, you want to go 11 personnel.
One back, one tight end.
And three wide receivers.
Okay, so at that point, you're going to have James Robinson at running back, Laviska Shenault at one position, DJ Chark at another position, and Keelan Cole as the third. James O'Shaughnessy, their tight end, who has been their tight end for forever. I mean, he's okay. Yeah. He's not bad. He's not good. O'Shaughnessy's their tight end. Right. He'll beat you if you let him, but he's not a – what kind of personnel do you run on defense?
I mean, I would say you go like a cover four. And the reason why you play a cover four in the back end is you don't want to
get. So that's
a,
how many corners and how many safeties?
That's two corners and two safeties, okay? And they're playing quarters. It's called quarters. They're playing their quarters.
That's
and
a little soft zone,
that's a little,
right?
A little soft zone, or you can sneak the corners up a little bit. You don't want to go a cover zero, and cover zero is man-to-man across the board. And if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, this is just me now, I'm going empty. I'm going empty to make those, that secondary to come up and play man-to-man. And then now that's where you strike and make plays.
I just feel like the Titans defense right now, it's going to be so patchwork today. I would say expect to see a lot of David Long Jr. at linebacker. Mm-hmm. Expect to see Josh Kalu on defense a little bit. And I wonder what they're going to do with Ty Smith at the corner position.
Oh,
would he be
him,
out
yeah.
there over Chris Jackson?
I mean, I don't know. Just like you said, it's going to be a lot of patchwork. We just don't know because there's so many moving parts of what's going on. You have a Dory out. You have a lot of guys that can make plays that are out. So the one thing that Mike Vrabel and his defensive staff has to do is make sure that they don't give up the explosive plays. I mean, that's the key. You can handle a 6-yard play or a 10-yard play, but when you're giving up two plays, 78 yards, then that's where your defense gets in trouble.
Do you feel like this is kind of altering Vrabel's game plan a little bit? That Vrabel is looking to Arthur Smith saying, look, man, we don't need we don't need 7-play, 2-minute drives to score touchdowns. We need to run the ball. We need to keep the defense on the sidelines. We need to wear their defense down. We need to be more tough and physical than, like, Arthur, you know, every offensive coordinator likes to throw the ball up and down the field. Arthur's got receivers, and Arthur's got a passing game that you can't throw the ball up and down the field. But maybe today you want to kind of slow that down on offense because you want to protect the defense.
I don't know if you want to slow it down. You just want to make sure that you're getting touchdowns as opposed to field goals. I mean, if you're scoring touchdowns and then you just happen to get a stop against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, as opposed to being up 7-0, you're up 14-0. Then now the pressure's on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that's what you got to do. I mean, I understand you want to slow it down. But if you're scoring a touchdown, they have a 3-and-out. You score another touchdown, you get an interception. You score another touchdown, you have a pick, you have a fumble. So now it puts the pressure on the Jacksonville Jaguars as opposed to the Tennessee Titans.
Coming up next, Teron Davenport will join us. TD will get his thoughts on today's game. Does TD think that the Titans are going to figure this out on defense? We'll get TD's thoughts on how they'll line up. That is all coming up next. We are live from the Corner Pub out in Bellevue. Again, great place to watch the game. Tons of great beer specials. Yazoo, Happ and Harry's, bucket specials, much, much more. Come on out. And again, we can look at all the tables here, Chris Sanders.
Yes,
they are doing a great
job of
socially distancing everything out here in Bellevue at the Corner Pub. We've been to Brentwood. We've been downtown. They are following health and safety guidelines at the Corner Pub. TD joins us next. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans and Jags, and Chris and I are sitting over here. We got our pins out. We got the dry erase board in front of us at Corner Pub
trying to
figure out who's going to play secondary today for the Tennessee Titans.
Champ, I'm ready. I'm a corner, man. I'm a lockdown corner, baby.
You just look at the money and you say,
no,
I wasn't making
on,
that when I played. I'd like to go in there and get that, get those salaries they're making today.
I will lock somebody down, guarantee.
And that might be the next option. With that,
I'm just kidding.
Teron Davenport joins us. TD, as always, TD, Breon Borders goes to IR. Adoree Jackson is out. Kenny Vaccaro is out with an illness. Imani Hooker going to be forced into Vaccaro's role, which opens up Hooker's role. Tons of moves that were made. What's going on with the Titans secondary today, and how do they match up with these Jacksonville wide receivers?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. You know, Laviska Shenault, Colin Johnson, those guys are something else, not to mention DJ Shark. So they're going to have to figure it out. I think, you know, Chris Jackson coming back, that's going to be an option for them. So expect to see the rookie get some time, maybe even in the starting lineup.
How do you think they will do this as far as playing defense is concerned today? I can't imagine with the speed of Jacksonville, you're going to see a lot of man-to-man coverage with that Titans secondary. What would you do if you were in the position of Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen of trying not to get completely exposed on the back end today?
I would actually play some man. I don't think Jacksonville really has a tremendous amount of speed, to be honest with you. Their only speed guy, and he's not really even a speed guy, is DJ Shark. I mean, outside of him, it matches up well. Colin Johnson is a bigger receiver. That's a good matchup for Malcolm Butler. Laviska Shenault, they just use him all over the place, and you know, he's not a speed guy either. So I would actually go man. The interesting part of going man is going to be the safeties against those tight ends. O'Shaughnessy is a bigger body receiver that works the middle of the field, and Tyler Eifert is a big body as well. So that's going to be the matchup, but I think man defense is perfectly all right for the Titans to play.
You know, the Tennessee Titans have been struggling on third down. I mean, it's just been horrendous. What do the Tennessee Titans need to do to get off on third down?
Yeah, I think the main thing starts with disruption at the line of scrimmage, or at least early within the route. You want to make that receiver be able to, or the quarterback have to, you know, look off of the receiver and go through his options. That gives you guys up front time to get home. A lot of the times these first downs are coming on, you know, like third and seven, third and long situations. And that means that you can't play so far off with coverage, right? And you can't just let pass catchers roam free through zone defense like as if they're walking to the candy store. And that's what has happened, and that's been the big issue. So they need to corral that and be more disruptive, more sticky with their coverage.
You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have a quarterback, Glennon. You know, he's okay, but what do the Tennessee Titans need to do to really try to get him off his spot, to put a little pressure? I know they've been struggling, you know, during the year to create some kind of pressure. What do you think they need to do up front or even in the secondary to put some pressure on Glennon?
Blitz, blitz, and blitz.
But doesn't that put pressure on your corners?
Kenny Vaccaro is going to be out, and he was probably their best blitzing corner or defensive back, rather. So I think you should go to corner Desmond King. and send him. He does a good job of blitzing. He's very aware of, you know, how to time it and get in there. So I would expect that. You know, if you put a guy out on the field, you got to trust him. So that being said, if you're going to blitz your corners, you know, they're just going to have to hold up in coverage. And you're even going to have to send some of your corners as well. Malcolm Butler, they should blitz him. You have to do that when you don't have the horses up front to really get home on their own. It's just not there for them right now. So I think you got to get creative.
TD, how do you see the matchup going for the Titans on offense, which is right now Arthur Smith really and Tannehill can really pick their poison? Do you want to run the ball and run somebody to death with the best running back in the league, or do you want that 1-2 punch of Brown and Davis? And we'd all like to see a combination of both. But I wonder if in this game with Jacksonville's secondary in the state it's in, this may not be a game where A.J. Brown or Corey Davis just absolutely lights up the stat sheet. How do you see that dynamic working out on offense?
Yeah, I think they're going to light it up passing-wise. I expect Tannehill to have 300 yards passing, and I expect Tannehill to connect with Brown and Davis each for 100 yards. That's how I see it. When you have a secondary that's as banged up as Jacksonville is, I think it's a good opportunity for that passing game to get going. And, I think they'll light it up. But make no mistake, they're going to get Derrick Henry the football. But the thing is, Jacksonville's going to sell out to stop it. And even with a banged-up secondary, you're going to see one-on-one on the outside. And Chris, you know how that is, yeah, man, as a receiver. Yeah. You give me one-on-one, no safety help over top, I'm taking that personal, and I'm going to make you pay for it.
Yeah. Hey, are you concerned a little bit about the Tennessee Titans offensive line? I know you have Sappho, Kelly, and Quisenberry, and Jones. You know, I think last week the Browns exposed them a little bit. Does that concern you that the Tennessee Titans offensive line is going to let them get pressure on Tannehill?
I think the concern should be in the middle because you saw Sheldon Richardson kind of have his way last week. So if there's a concern, it would be there. But I don't think it's the same group of guys as what Cleveland had, especially with, you know, Myles Garrett and Olivier Vernon on the outside. You had to pay so much attention to that. That helped open things up for the guys inside and Richardson and Larry Ogunjobi. So it's a different situation here in this game. I know Kalyvon Chaisson is itching to, you know, improve upon his rookie season, and Josh Allen is a monster himself. But I think this offensive line will hold up well against them. And then they'll also use a lot of things to get Tannehill on the move because, frankly, when Tannehill is on the move, that's when he throws at his best. I mean, the stats don't lie. You look at him on play action, everything goes up. So I would think they'd be able to find some ways to account for that pass rush up front.
So, TD, I guess one of the thoughts I have is you have a lot of access to this team, especially like in a normal year. This year is obviously a lot different, access cut down for everybody. But is there a sense with this team that they feel like they can improve on the defense? Because, I mean, the defense is just such a glaring weakness on this team, especially in the secondary and pass rush. Chris and I brought it up, 32nd in the league in getting off the field on third down, 32nd in sacks per play. But is there a feeling with the team, to the best of your knowledge, that they can improve this defense down the stretch and as they get into the playoffs?
Yeah, they definitely believe that. And it just keeps going back to, you know, a lot of times that they're saying the communication side of things. But, you know, the good thing is a lot of them, they talk about execution. And the only way that you can get better is through executing. It doesn't matter, you know, how good the call is or how poor the call is. If it's not executed properly, it's not going to succeed. So they feel like they could execute better. That's the main thing. And, you know, that's coming from various players. So they believe that. And, I mean, we're on week 14. So at some point it's going to have to come out if this is something that they feel is going to come to fruition. Because those things that you mentioned, the lack of sacks, you know, the lack of being able to get off the field on third downs, the coverage lapses, these are things that, I mean, you just frankly can't win. Mm-hmm. A playoff game, even, you know, let alone a Super Bowl when you're performing at that level. And, I mean, let's be real, that 32nd ranking, they're actually on pace to have one of the worst third down defenses ever. So, yeah, it's they better believe that they can improve upon that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and just looking at the secondary, and one guy that I really want to point out is Byard. Byard kept talking about the communication issues. Why do you think Byard is struggling right now? Is it because he's trying to protect everybody else and not doing his job, or he's just not playing well at the top level? What do you think is going on with Byard?
You know, and that's the thing that's really it stands out to me, because I've been on record multiple times saying that he's the best safety in football, but there has been a drop-off, and I asked the safeties coach, Scott Booker, if they're asking him to do something different, or to me it seems like he's playing a little bit more in the box this year.
Yes, yeah.
And Coach Booker said no to both of those, and I guess, you know, the time that I'm watching I may be seeing something different. I don't know, but it seems like there is a drop off. But he's the type of safety that, you know, you put him in center field and you let him come off of that post.
Oh yeah.
You let him come down and swoop in there and intercept the football, or you know you let him use his built-in GPS for the ball that he has, right, and catch tip passes and those type of things. But it just seems like he's always a tick late or a step away, and I just wonder if that's from not allowing him to play that post that he plays so well. I mean, you look at his range, you look at his ability to kind of bait quarterbacks into throwing the football. You know, the one that stands out to me is the interception against the Giants a couple years ago when they had that sail combo and he swooped in and he picked off the outbreaking route, and you know, that was a big play. So I think that's something that's different. The perspective that he's able to or having to play from, it's not the same as being there in center field and just being able to read everything and come down and make plays.
Last one for you. Teron Davenport is our guest right here, ESPN. TD, the Titans playoff percentage goes from 94% with a win today against Jacksonville and a more than 70% chance to win the South to 69% today with a loss against Jacksonville. How much do you think the players look at this game and this opportunity today and understand its importance given where we are in the season right now?
One of the things I really like about this team, and it's almost to a man that you talk to, they don't have too much of a futuristic outlook. They look at what's in front of them right now. And regardless of whether Jacksonville is 1-10 or 10-1, they're approaching this as a big game. And I respect that. So I say all that to say they understand fully that this game in front of them, this is their Super Bowl. And that's something that they look at it from that perspective every week. So this game is huge for them. They understand that. I don't think there's really much as far as, like, the percentages that they're looking at that. They're just looking at, look, we want to control our own destiny. So what we'll do is work to win each and every game that's in front of us, starting with this one. And I think that's the mindset that they have.
Teron Davenport, as always, ESPN.com. You will see all of his work there, also on ESPN and across all of our shows, including Talking with TD podcast, Run TMC. And more importantly, Nate and TD every Friday night. Basically, you have to go out of your way to not see or read or listen to TD's work. He is all over the place. As always, TD, we appreciate it. We'll talk
appreciate
to you soon.
Appreciate you, man. Miss you this week,
for sure,
bro.
Sure. It took 14 weeks, but we got you where we want you, Jack. Appreciate the Run
yeah.
TMC.
Appreciate you, man.
TD, as always, joining us on the program. I do agree with TD, and yeah. I think it's a Vrabel thing, you know, the whole concept of, you know, one game at a time. But I do think there's an added importance with this game, knowing the divisional implications of today's
game. I don't think Vrabel is going to let them look ahead. I mean, and that's just coach talk. I'm a coach also, that we got to focus on what we do now, because if we focus on later on and don't focus on now, you're going to end up and you're going to have a loss, and you just can't do that.
Coming up next, picks to click. Who needs to click for the Titans today after a tough loss against the Browns? They're taking on the Jags. It's time for picking and clicking. That comes next here on the pregame show. We are live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Jared and Chris, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Maybe the worst picks to click in the history of picks to click came last week from yours truly, Jared Stillman. Picks to click are presented by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com. Honestly, maybe the two worst picks to click in the history of picks to click. I picked Derrick Henry, who was, you know, averaging 114 yards a game, and he had 60 yards and a key fumble. And I picked Tyrae Tart, the defensive lineman who got suspended for today's game for stepping on an opponent and is out today. By the way, did you hear what Vrabel was asked when he was asked about the defensive penalties last
week?
What did
he say?
He said, don't do dumb blank.
Oh, yeah, I know. I did hear that. Yeah.
And Tyrae Tart stepped on somebody. Suspension upheld. Chris Sanders picks to clicks last week. Adam Humphries. Pretty bad pick to click. Adam Humphries and Harold Landry. Did Landry get a sack last week? I think he might have.
I don't know. Yeah, I did good. He did get a sack.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we avoided the worst pick to click ever by one sack.
Yeah.
But that's it. So hopefully we'll do a little bit better picking and clicking this week. So, Chris Sanders, we start with you. Who are your picks to click? We start on offense. Who are your picks to click today for a Titans victory? And why?
I'm going to go with A.J. Brown. And I did want to go with Davis, but because Davis had a big game, 11 catches for 182 yards last
week. You know
what
the rule with A.J. and Corey is.
Yeah, I know. So I'm switching. So I'm going to go with Brown today because they're going to give a lot of one-on-one coverage on the outside, and they're going to try to load the box to stop Henry. But A.J. Brown can have a big game like Corey Davis had last week, 11 catches, 182 yards. So I'm going with A.J. Brown.
I think at this point it really is. The way they're both playing.
They're playing good.
It's kind of like whichever one the defense wants to try to stop more, I'll just throw to the other one.
No doubt.
And I think that Tannehill is doing that. And I think that that is one of the strengths of Tannehill's game, and I think it's working so far right now for the Titans.
Yeah. So you want me to go with defense? Let's go with defense.
Let's go. Let's flip the other side of the ball, defense.
I talked about him earlier in the show, and if this guy steps up and play like he did last year, this can really help the secondary. I'm going with Byard. And the reason why I'm going with Byard is due for a big game. I need one of those games like he had against Cleveland last year, the year before he had three picks. I got to have you today, Byard.
I am going to go somewhat opposite of you on this one. I am going to go my offensive pick to click, Corey Davis. I'm going with Corey Davis. But here's the thing about Corey Davis. Corey Davis is playing like he's in a contract year. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. I don't love that. But there are benefits to reap from a guy who's playing in a contract year like he's playing for his contract, I believe Corey Davis is doing, Mr. Sanders.
Yes, he is.
He's playing really, really well. The banged-up secondary of Jacksonville. You picked A.J. Brown. To me, I had to go with Corey Davis. So that's where I'm going to go on offense. Defensively, on that side of the ball, this is a tough one for the Titans. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm really going to challenge somebody today, and that person's going to be Rashawn Evans because he is not playing well right now. Mm. He's not playing smart right now, which is not acceptable. It's one thing to not play your best. It's another thing to not play smart. Penalties on Sunday, I didn't like that. And that's not – I wonder if they've moved him around a lot this year to try to have him play some as an outside pass rusher because they don't have the numbers there. I wonder if he's struggling with that. Nick Saban told us very early on before he even had actually played a game for the Titans, Nick Saban told Floyd and I, you can't bog Rashawn Evans down with too much too quickly. Yeah. Well, he's in his third year. Jayon Brown's out. They need – guys with talent to make plays. Evans has talent.
Yeah, the one thing I like about Evans is he plays fast, but you have to play, you have to be a smart player. And when I say a smart player, that's not being disrespectful. It's just that you got to be in the right place at the right time. And if you look at sometimes on defense, sometimes he's out of place. You'll see him make one good play, and then all of a sudden you don't see him for the rest of the game. So he has consistently made plays throughout the game.
I do wonder, too, the defense, and we know the defense, we understand the problems. The guys who are supposed to be playing well so far on defense this year, Byard, Evans, Landry, those guys have not played to the standard in which we thought that they would play. even with all the guys who are out and who are hurt?
I mean, your big players make big plays in big games. I agree with you 100%. Those guys need to step up and play big. I mean, if Byard plays big and Landry plays big, that makes everybody around you better. Simmons is playing big. So if you have all those guys playing a complete game like they did against Baltimore, then now you can be successful.
Those are our Picks to Click presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Hopefully, Chris, we will have a better week this week.
I think we
did last week with those picks. Titans and Jags, 52 minutes to kick off in Jacksonville in what is a crucial divisional game for the Titans. The Jags are 1-11, but Chris Sanders.
Yeah.
I think there is legitimate reason to be worried about today's game.
I mean, it is. I mean, look at what the Tennessee Titans are going through. They're going through with a banged-up secondary. They're not getting off on third down. And then you have a Jaguars offense that has the potential to make some explosive plays. So even though that the Jacksonville Jaguars are 1-11, the Tennessee Titans are 8-4, throw the records out the window, because these are two teams that don't like each other. This is going to be a physical game. The team that's going to win is the team that makes the least amount of penalties, that makes the least amount of stakes, and then at the last minute make plays. So it's all going to boil down to who makes plays and who doesn't make turnovers.
Today for Jacksonville, would a win against the Titans, having already knocked off Indianapolis this year at home, would that make their season, knowing the just constant changes that are coming in Jacksonville after the year's
over? I don't think it's not a make or break game. I think it's going to send them in the right direction. I mean, you want to have a team that's going in the right direction. And when you start building a culture, start building, your team, and you beat a team like the Tennessee Titans that's one of the premier teams in the league, it gives you a little confidence that you can beat those teams, that you can compete in this league. So, you know, I think that it's going to be a really, really good game.
Looking back on the performances in the past against Jacksonville, I brought this up. Jacksonville has had some bad teams, and the Titans have gone on the road in the past and lost at Jacksonville. You were a part of that 2000. You guys had a very good team, best team in the league at 13-3. One of those losses was on the road at Jacksonville in a game that you should not have lost. What is it about playing divisional games on the road this time of the year, even if the other team isn't so good, that provides an opportunity for a slip?
I mean, it's a rivalry game. When you have a rivalry game, you got two teams that don't like each other. Look at the history of when we played when the Tennessee Titans played the Jaguars. Jeff Fisher said that was our second home. So that's still a bad taste in the Jacksonville Jaguars' mouth. So it's not going to be one of those games to say, okay, Tennessee Titans are 8-4. You know, the Jaguars are 1-11, that it's going to be a rollover. Every time the Tennessee Titans play the Jaguars, it's always a physical game. It's always the team that makes the last play that wins the game. So I think it's going to be a really, really good game.
Ryan Tannehill lit up the scoreboard last week against Cleveland, including some of these interesting stats. He had his fourth game in 2020 with at least three touchdown passes. He also registered his 18th performance in two seasons with the Titans with at least two touchdown passes, and it's his ninth consecutive game with at least one touchdown pass. And how about this? He is tied for fourth place in Titans Oilers franchise history with 26 touchdown passes. The only ones ahead of him in one season, 26 this season, George Blanda had 36 in 1961, 27 in 62, Warren Moon 33 in 1990, and he's tied Mariota in 2016. Chris, do you think Ryan Tannehill can break Warren Moon's record of 33 touchdown passes in a season as a Titans quarterback?
I think he can, and the reason why I say I think he can is because he's playing at a high level. I mean, I know last week he threw a pick, and that wasn't his fault because Humphreys dropped the ball. But, man, he's just making the right decisions. He's taking what the defense is giving him, and he's putting the ball where only the receiver can make him. So I agree with you. I think he can break that record if he just keeps playing consistent ball. I think he's going to smash it by about three or four touchdowns. That's how good Tannehill was playing. And we have an A.J. Brown, a Corey Davis, a Jonnu Smith, guys that are capable of making a big play for Tannehill. I think he's going to break that record.
And one final thing, the Titans did get their butts kicked in the first half last week against Cleveland, but they only lost by 5 points. How much credence did you give that comeback effort in the second half?
It shouldn't even been like that.
I agree.
It shouldn't even been like that. Yes, a good comeback, but you know Mike Vrabel is not going to sit up there and say, okay, we gave a good effort. He wants results. And if you don't get results in getting a W in that win column, it absolutely means nothing. I mean, when was the last time that the Tennessee Titans have been down at halftime 38-7? When was the last time? Or 17-0, or just looking like an inept offense and in an inept defense and having no answer for the Cleveland Browns.
Oh.
It's just mind-boggling that even happened to the Tennessee Titans. So, hey, they got to come out and play some football, man.
Coming up next, Mike Vrabel's got his keys to the game, keys for a Titans victory, plus Game day picks. That's all coming up. Titans and Jags coming up in a little bit less than an hour. It's the pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Jared and Chris on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans and Jags coming up in just a little bit at the top of the hour on CBS today. And again, with a win, the Titans would have a 94% chance of making the playoffs. According to the New York Times simulator, a 94% chance of making the playoffs. The Titans would also have a 71% chance of winning the division. With a loss, 68% chance of making the playoffs. Think about this. If this were school, and you're an educator.
Yeah.
If this were school, you'd go from an A to a D.
That quick.
By losing to Jackson.
Is that what you did in college? Went from A to D all the time?
No, I went from D to an A. I can't even tell you how many A's I made in school. Now, I didn't make any D's.
Yeah.
I mean, I avoided the D's and the F's.
Yeah.
But I mean, a handful of A's. I mean, let's just be real.
So you can count them on your finger, huh?
Yeah, that was not a key to my success. And it is time now to take a look at a key to the Titans' success, Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. And he starts, of course, against Jacksonville with the Titans have got to turn the football over. They've got to protect the football over. But they've got to force Jacksonville into some turnovers.
Not only take care of it, but we have to create some turnovers. You know, I mean, that's what we've done when we're at our best. We're taking care of the ball. We're creating turnovers. We're forcing our offense to short fields and, you know, it's just too hard to play the game when you're losing a turnover battle.
Chris,
yes.
The Titans are +7 in turnovers. That is very high in the NFL. The Jags are -9, very low. I think Vrabel looks at that stat today and thinks, hey, if the Titans can take advantage of Jacksonville's weakness and harbor their strength of taking care of the ball, that could lead to a very quick Titans
victory. If you look at what the Tennessee Titans did last week, okay, Tannehill threw for 389 yards. Corey Davis caught 11 passes for 82. But what was the determining factor of the whole game? Turnovers. You have an interception that did Humphrey, a pass that Humphrey should have caught.
Killer and the Derrick Henry fumble.
And that's a fumble.
Both killers.
So you may have all the stats, but it's the team that wins the turnover battle. And that's exactly what Mike Vrabel's saying. We can't go out there and have a whole bunch of stats and your receivers are catching passes, your quarterback is doing well, but then you have turnovers. That's going to cost you the game every single time. And I just think that the Tennessee Titans need to get some takeaways on defense, and then and vice versa. They're going to have to make plays and make sure they start fast by doing that.
And, again, they did turn over Gardner Minshew twice in the first game against Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville does turn the football.
They do. And Minshew had a big day. I think it was 30 for 42 or something like that, and almost 300 yards. But look at how many turnovers he had. He had two picks. So you just can't have turnovers in this league.
That takes us to the second key, which has always been a big key for Mike Vrabel since the day he got here as coach of the Titans, but could not have been worse of an issue on Sunday, and that is playing complementary football. Offense helps the defense. Defense helps the special teams. Special teams helps the offense. Vrabel wants to see all three phases working together, as he would always say, playing complementary football.
Well, I mean, when we get a three and out and we get the ball back, we got to get something out of the return phase. We got to get a first down on a punt return and hopefully take it down there and score. And if we don't, we have to pin them, you know, inside the 10 with our punter, you know, Brett Kern, and then play defense again and continue to do that until we end up on a short field and can score some points.
Chris, how important is complementary football for this particular team?
I mean, it is. I mean, if you look at the Tennessee Titans, if you look at when they played against the Indianapolis Colts, they played good on offense, they played okay on defense, but then you had a special teams that doesn't play well. You have a shank punt for 17 yards, and then you have a block punt and a scoop and score. You can't do that. You have to play great in all phases of the game. On offense, you have to create long drives. You have to make sure you score touchdowns as opposed to field goals. On defense, create turnovers and give a short field or get a short field for the Tennessee Titans offense. So if you're playing great in three phases of the game, you're 98% sure to win the game because you're being complimentary in every phase of the game.
I'll take one step further. What did they do that was complimentary last week? I mean, it's 17-0 Cleveland. The Titans score to make it 17-7. Defense has got to do something to get you the ball back, get you in this game.
Right.
They didn't do it. You know, I mean, like that, like to me, that's complimentary football. Mm-hmm. The one thing, it happened too late, But the Vaccaro fumble set up the touchdown towards the end of the game. Like, that's good, but it was too late. They did not play complimentary football on Sunday. Every time they needed the other side of the ball to pick them up, Derek down 10-0, you need Derrick Henry and the Titans offense to get you back in the game, Derrick Henry fumbles. Then you score to make it 17-7, defense doesn't get a stop. It's like all that hard work is for nothing. They got to change that this week.
Yeah, I mean, look at the offense. When you have an offense that's prolific and are making plays, then all of a sudden you have a fumble. Then all of a sudden you have an interception. I mean, that just takes the momentum and it puts the pressure on the defense. And then you have the defense that's giving up explosive plays against Peoples-Jones. I mean, you just can't do that. You got to be sound on offense. You got to have a 12-play drive taking off 7 minutes. And then all of a sudden you come back with defense. You have a three and out. And then all of a sudden they kick the ball off or they do a punt to the Tennessee Titans. Then you have a good return for like 17 yards and then you have good field position. That's complimentary football right there.
And that takes us to Mike Vrabel's third key, which is, and I think Mike's getting a little too greedy here, but Mike Vrabel wants to see the Titans special team step up and the return game specifically.
It's similar to what we just talked about. We got to pin them down there. We got to protect our kickers so they can do their job. We got to get this return phase going. You know, we've got some guys back there that we feel like can do something, but, you know, it just seems like there's one breakdown or, you know, one mistake each and every return, and that's the guy that ends up making the play. So, you know, we've got to get this thing cleaned up and build some momentum there to get our offense out on the field and, you know, be able to pin them down there deep and create some field position.
That's why Kern can be huge in this game. I mean, huge. And I always go back to the Cleveland game when Kern kicks a long punt and they're down at the two. All of a sudden, you get a safety, and then it just takes the momentum out of the Cleveland Browns. Special team has to be huge. And Mike Vrabel always talks about field position. Field position, you know, instead of starting at the 50-yard line, you got Glennon starting at the minus five. I mean, that just makes them have to earn it, and that's where you create mistakes. And then he said another thing that's so profound is we need somebody in the return game that's going to not get 6 or 7 yards. We need a guy that's going to make about a 40-yard and then start at the 50, and then now there's no pressure on the offense to go out there and make plays. So it all complements each other with guys just making plays.
I would argue, too, on this one, let's not get too greedy about the return game. The second you start to get too greedy, you tell Batson you want more returns, you tell Raymond you want more returns, the second you get a little greedy, somebody's fumbling that football.
Yeah, but I don't think it's being greedy. It's just giving the Tennessee Titans better field position. As opposed to starting at the 18, you're starting at the 35.
I know, but they can't do it.
I mean, somebody has to do it.
They're not Derek Mason.
No. I'm not talking about the home run every play. I'm just saying at least have a good return to the 35, at least not to the 18. That those yards make a difference.
I stand by my point that they cannot do this. Time now for our game day picks. Both Chris and I picked the Titans last week, and of course we were unfortunately incorrect. So now it's time for our game day selections. Who wins today and why? Titans and Jags. Chris Sanders, we start with you. Who wins today? Final score and why?
I am going with the Tennessee Titans 31-17. I think the Tennessee Titans are a mad football team. I think they are upset because they got embarrassed last week, and I think they're going to come out on all cylinders. I know the offense is going to come out and make plays. In actuality, I just think that the Tennessee Titans are just the better team. I understand that we don't know a lot of guys on the Jacksonville Jaguars, but you got A.J. Brown, Tannehill, Ferkser, Janu, all these guys that are explosive players. I just think that the Tennessee Titans are a better team.
I think the Titans are going to skip the field goal kicking. I think they'll go 35-21. I don't trust the defense. So I'm pretty close with you, but I'm going to go 35-21. I think ultimately the Titans get it done today. That will do it for us. We will be back next week ahead of the Titans and the Lions. Everybody stay safe. Everybody wear your masks, everything else, and be safe as well. We will be back tomorrow. Jared and the GM at 2 o'clock. We'll have a full breakdown on Titans Monday. Until then, live from the Corner Pub for Chris, for Phil, for Captain Kurt, Jared Stillman, ESPN 102.5 The Game.